Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. Y'all, this is the arena where we stop pretending that we have it all together and we start telling the truth about what it actually feels like to lead. Because the truth is, a lot of people look successful on the outside, but on the inside, they are exhausted, they're disconnected, they're just trying to keep up with everything they're carrying. And God did not call you to build a life that's just going to drain you. He calls you to live fully and to lead with truth and to become someone who's actually aligned, not just impressive. So if you've been holding it together, but barely, this conversation is for you. Today's guest is Kurt Busch. He helps leaders stop performing and start living and leading for real. Kurt, I throw everybody into the hot seat of like, give us your elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you do? And what makes you special?
Yeah, no, I love that. Yeah, so I coach leaders of all kinds. I think everybody leads something. So leader, pretty broad term. I feel like are stuck or exhausted or overwhelmed, live and lead more fully and more authentically.
I love that. Okay, when I say elevator pitch for people, it goes one of two ways. It's like either to the point and they actually get it, or we're here for like 10 minutes. It's incredible. So I appreciate that.
No, elevators are fast.
Right. I mean, it's supposed to be like that 30-second thing, and I know it was like one of the most intimidating things for me to figure out, and so I just kind of like, let's get super uncomfortable because we're gonna unpack a bunch of heavy stuff anyway. So if we just start with that, it's so scary. Who am I? What do I do? So many people are hesitant about that. You say most people aren't thriving, that they are just surviving. I very much agree with you. But what, speaking to the audience today, what does that look like just in the day-to-day?
Yeah. I mean, I think like the high picture, I think it's a misalignment of how we go through our day versus who and how we are created to be or who and how we want to be. I think that misalignment creates this kind of surviving, treading water posture. I think micro, like living it, I think it looks like walking out of meetings feeling exhausted. It looks like regret and remorse when we leave a hard conversation. It looks like metaphorically kicking the dog when we get home. Like I like dogs. I don't advocate anybody kicks any dogs, but metaphorically, I think those are the symptoms. But I think it like if we boil it down enough, I think it comes down to a misalignment of who and how we want to be and how we take that into those places. But also like some form of protection for when we're in those places.
No, I totally see that. And I do feel like so many people, that's just what they feel like. They're treading water. And, even just this morning coming in, you're actually my first interview of the day. So I'm sitting in here, I'm setting my intentions, I'm praying. I'm like, all right, well, let's, we have some stories to get out into the world today. And I'm thinking, man, I love this. Like, there is so much joy in what I get to do because I figured all that stuff out. And I think so many people are missing that. Like, if you do not have joy in what you're doing, life is too short for the bullshit. It really is. And I why is faking it till you make it? Why is that a thing? Why is it so common in leadership? Because it's I'm not a fan. I tried it. I tried that. It was exhausting. It was treading water.
I don't know who made up fake it till you make it. I mean, I think I can get to a gracious understanding of it, and I can, like I can get to a place. I love the phrase "walk across the bridge while I build it." Like I think like I can maybe find some grace for fake it till you make it, that maybe that's what people are trying to say. But whoever came up with that, like I'd like to find them and like ask them not to. Don't make up any more phrases. That's not helpful. It's really, really unhelpful, this idea of faking it till we make
I feel like that I'm gonna have to research the origin story of that. Like who did originally come up with that? Because I think nothing works for anybody until you really authentically become yourself. Right now, everybody's just who they think society wants them to be or who they thought their parents wanted them to be. And it's all an act and it's so exhausting. People ask all the time, how do you do everything you do? Well, because I don't have to fake it, because I'm 100% just me in everything I do. So I'm not performing. And that's what so many people are doing. And what do you think is the real cost of constantly performing instead of just being authentic?
Yeah, that's the question, right? I mean, I think you just asked the most important question. What's the cost? 'Cause I think there is a like if I can use the scale imagery, like I think there is certainly a cost to being authentic, right? There is always a cost to everything we do and every decision we make. I think when that scale of like cost of being authentic is lighter than the cost of faking it, like that's where transformation begins, I think. That's when the realization of like, ah, something's out of whack here. Yeah, I mean, I've felt that cost. I mean, that was something I felt pretty early in my career to say, I can't do this for 25 years. Like if I'm gonna have a career, like I can't go through every meeting, like trying to figure out what I'm gonna say so I don't look stupid. Like I can't do it. And that cost at some point just the scale tips, you know?
I totally see that. So, Kurt, I want your origin story. Like, were you at a point where success was just hollow? Where did you become this voice that wants to empower people to really just show up for themselves? There had to be a part where you were just like at the end.
Yeah, we're gonna need at least 3 hours for that story. So I'm a kind of person like I have like three distinct careers. I like variety. I'm not comfortable kind of staying in a situation for long term. I like new and exciting. I like to create. So there's a couple points, but I think the most recent point for me, I actually pastored a local church for a little bit. I went to seminary late in life. That stirred up a lot of imposter syndrome in me, and I carried that into the first church that I led. I had a really good coach. The church I worked for paid for an amazing coach for me that helped me get clear on who and how I want to be. And here's what's shifted. Here's where I knew that I needed a change. I helped plant a second campus of a church in 2020, and I don't know if you remember 2020. There was a lot of stuff going on in 2020. We launched it January 1st of 2020. So, what I learned in that process was that I loved culture building. I loved leading volunteers. We were doing something new in a global pandemic. We had some denominational strife and all of this too. And I loved helping my volunteer leaders learn how to navigate anxiety, learn how to manage themselves in hard places. I loved it. That was where I felt most alive. And what happened, 2022, 2023, what happened is that the culture of the church took hold. Leaders were leading less anxiously. And I found myself doing less and less of that coaching with people. And I needed to be an organizational leader. And I got to tell you, I hate that. It just drained me. I'm not a vision caster. I'm not a, here, follow me into this vision. I'm just not that sort of leader. If you need a calm presence in the room, I'm there. If you need a curious presence, I'm there. But it just became really clear that what was needed of me wasn't something I wanted to do. And I think that moment of like, oh, I need to do more. Again, with a coach, I had a good coach that helped me do the math of like, what am I doing to pay the rent? What am I doing? 'Cause I love it. So in 2024, I pulled the trigger and with one of my best friends launched a coaching practice. Hardest thing I've ever done. And here we are.
That's amazing. And it is hard because you talked about there being a price either way. Like, there is a price to stay exhausted and to be miserable, but there's also a price to becoming yourself. And you lose people, you hurt people, you feel their disappointment because they had this expectation. Kurt, you're supposed to do this and you're leaving us. Like, what was that price for you?
Yeah, I'm a people pleaser. Are you familiar with the Enneagram?
Not so much.
Okay. Well, I'm a people pleaser. I'll leave it at that. And I have a hard time, like kind of a growing edge for me is always being able to allow people to be disappointed in me. Like bearing someone's emotional discomfort, if somebody is disappointed in me, it's really hard for me. I want people to be happy. I don't want to be the source of disappointment. So yeah, it was really hard to walk away from a time when by all metrics, like things were going well. I think from the outside, anybody looking in would have said, wow, this is going well. You're doing a great job. And I was, But man, I didn't get to do the work that I loved, at least
Yeah.
not to the level that I wanted to.
Right.
But I think that disappointment is still the hardest thing for me. I mean, I'm in my 40s starting a business from scratch
Yeah.
after a career. Like, who does this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of that kind of skepticism, and that's okay. You know, I
Yeah.
think the work that I continue to do in myself is that's okay. And I get to have the empowerment and the agency to align my work and life with who and how I'm created to be.
Right. I love that. And I think that to an extent, all of us are kind of people pleasers. I think that
Yeah.
it's just part of human nature. And I think something that really saved me, this is my third year in the Bible every single day. And with, a lot of things happened over the past couple of years, and I became very vocal about my ethics and my values and my relationship with Christ. And wow, I never seen so much hate in my life. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. So, I sat with that for a long time. I lost a lot of people. People were like, I never thought you were this person. I'm like, I don't know what I did to make you think I wasn't. It was horrible, like losing those people. But being grounded in that, I know God has me. I don't need the world to approve of me. And once I finally, called Christ into that moment, I was like, hey, this is too heavy. I can't carry the whole world hating me, so I need to really lock in and figure out how do I go knowing that I trigger people everywhere I go. And how do I sit with that? And it, just being able to give that to him because I couldn't handle it, to give that to him. And now it's like, if the world doesn't like me, I'm doing something right. Doing
Yeah,
something
preach.
right. So I know it's tough out there, you guys. And yeah, practicing disappointing people, setting boundaries, all of those things, it's important. What do you think the difference is, between being a leader and just carrying responsibility?
Oh, that's a good question. I like that question a lot. I'm not sure I've ever been asked it quite like that. I think I would say it like this. I mean, I think a leader is someone worth following, right? And even that, I know how broad that is and like what is worth following, but I think we all decide who's worth following, right? I think everybody carries some responsibility. I think there's a lot of people who don't exhibit the values that make them a leader that people are following. Maybe I have a business partner, my coaching business partner. He'll say a leader is just somebody with followers. And I think that's true, and it oversimplifies a little bit, but I think that's true. I think we naturally kind of follow those people that are going somewhere. There's always a question of like, where are you going? But I think for me, if you're a leader, you are exhibiting values worth following and have people following you.
I love that.
And that's like stay-at-home moms, the stay-at-home dads. This is like anybody. I mean, like anybody.
No, I agree. And I'm a fan of anybody because this show is something that, I don't really have rules. I'm like, if you have a story, come talk to me. I'm not going to put you through a process and scope people out, scout people, because everybody is in it, man. Everybody's in it. And whatever you're
Everybody's.
going through, like, someone needs to hear your story. And so I love the work that you're doing because my frustration is like, you guys are just sitting at home wallowing when you could like be changing the world, literally, one conversation at a time. You're doing that. You talk about self-awareness, and I think part of the issue with that I see, that I believe, is that everyone's just so disconnected, and they've been disconnected for so long. How do you think they can pull the trigger on that self-awareness and really start reconnecting with themselves right now?
I mean, I think the easiest way is the practice of reflection first, right? I mean, I think so many of us are just so busy and we're just grinding and hustling and whatever other word we want to use. Like, we just don't take time to reflect and ask the question of like, how am I showing up? Does it align with who and how I want to be? So I think the practice of reflection, it's kind of one of these old school practices that serves us well even today. I think the other thing, I mean, you talk about this a little bit already, but like the disconnection is real. I can't advocate it enough for someone, friend, coach, family member, somebody trusted that we can, ask questions. One of my favorite questions that my coach had me ask somebody else was, "Can you tell me one thing about me that I might not know?" And when I asked that question, I went to one of my most trusted friends, and I expected him to tell me something negative because that's how we're wired,
Right.
right? Like, oh, I'm gonna ask this question. Hey, friend of mine, tell me something about me that I don't know. You know what he said? He's like, "I think you have so much more compassion than you know that you have." Like something along those lines. It was really positive.
Yeah.
And I think what's true is we have a hard time hearing positive things. So
Yeah.
I think even something simple about finding a trusted friend to say, "Hey, I'm working on myself a little bit. I'd like to know myself a little more. Can you help hold up a mirror to me? Can you help hold up a mirror to the places I might not know?" I mean, I'd be real careful who I gave that mirror to.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yeah.
I don't think just everybody gets that mirror,
No.
right? That's a very select crowd. Be very intentional, be very safe about that. But I do
Yeah.
think there is something about like trusted friend. Here's the work I'm doing in myself. I'm going to ask you to help me.
Yeah. No, I very much agree with that. And thank you for giving them that awareness that it's not just anybody. Okay. So your mom, who's not supported anything you do, who has said that the choices you make are kind of careless and reckless, like you're not giving her the mirror. Okay. In fact, probably family at all. I would just take them off the table. I love you guys, but honestly, like take the family off the table. And it really does need to be someone that's kind of seen you in all of your phases and is still there. So, I want to go back because you were talking about reflection, and I just think that's not talked about enough. So, what does that actually look like to the audience if they're like, I don't know, what do I reflect? What do you mean? Like for themselves.
That's a great question. Thanks for asking it. So we think about it like this. I don't want to like get too pitchy here, but we have a tool that we call our transformational equation, E plus R equals T, encounter plus reflection equals transformation. So we have encounters every day. An encounter is something where I'm taken off guard, I react, I lash out, I withdraw, I do something I don't prefer, right? That's an encounter. We think those are the places to reflect, to ask real honest questions. What happened? Who was part of it? What did I feel? What did I do? And what would I do differently next time if I could? And we think once we can see those things, now we can't unsee them, right? I can't unsee it. I can decide I'm not going to do anything with it, but I actually think most of us adults don't make that decision. I think
Right.
most of us adults see something that we don't prefer and we get into action to change it. And that's really where transformation lies. Practically speaking, like most of my clients never know how to reflect because we don't do it as adults.
Exactly.
We don't take time and examine inside of us what we're feeling, what we're going through.
Yeah.
So we usually say like take 5 minutes at lunch, take 5 minutes in the morning, take something, get a little win where you can grab a notebook, grab your phone, whatever you want to do to take notes, and just try.
Yeah.
What happened? What was I doing? What did I feel? What did I do? And what do I want to do next time? Those sort of places.
Yeah. I think that sounds like an incredible strategy that you give your clients. And definitely be pitchy on the show, 'cause why not?
I just don't like that.
but it's so funny because I could very much tell the clients who actually journal and ask themselves the questions versus the ones that aren't. And I'll never understand because taking a pen to paper is literally one of the easiest things for anyone to do, and people just don't do it. It's crazy to me. I'm like, this, it unlocks everything. Like it's magic.
Can I ask you a question about that? I know,
Yeah.
like, can I like roll reverse for a second?
Yeah, let's do it.
People always ask me like, why journal? Why say something out loud? Why write? Like, how would you describe the magic that happens when you write something down or say something out loud? Like, how do you describe that?
I mean, words are power. That's biblical. It's biblical. So the minute I say it out loud, my words are out there and they're affecting the stars. Like they're out there. And the minute I can write that down, that's my mirror. That is me saying, okay, I wrote this down and I'm like, wow, that doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good that I had to write this down. And so I get to change it instead of just ruminating and letting it affect my default mode network. I get to create a new connection in my brain. Very simple. And when you write stuff down, you guys, your brain, like I'm obsessed with the brain, and it does so much for it in, just creating that. So yeah, that's how'd I do? Did I answer the question right?
Well, I sometimes don't know how to describe because I think it's magic. So sometimes I just say it's magic. No, I love it. I was asking for me, genuinely.
Yeah. No, it's just understanding words have power, and I would have never known that had I not read the actual guidebook to life that I didn't know existed. But it's there. Words are everything. They speak life, they speak death. And so what are you saying to yourself? What are you capturing? And I think just writing stuff down just gives you this beautiful look into what your subconscious is doing. Because how many thoughts a day do we have without thinking about it? It's just kind of organizational, but there's a big shift. And it's very obvious the people that are willing to do it versus the ones that are still kind of like, ah, I'm fine without it. It's not that big a deal. It's not that serious, not that important. So yeah, I words are everything. They speak of life.
I love that.
Yeah. So, leaders, if we're going back to the leaders, where do you see leaders abandoning themselves the most?
Oh man, that's a good question. That's a great question. I think I would say it like this. I think there's so many opportunities as leaders to give up ourself in terms of like give up our voice, and give up our perspective of how we see the world. M meaning, I think so many leaders have such a loud inner critic that tells us to be careful what we say. That it doesn't add value when we say or do. And then that leads to the sort of withdraw in to ourselves. So then we lose the organization loses my voice, the world loses my voice, and we kind of just give up ourself for the sake of staying safe, for the sake of appeasing that inner critic that we know how to handle. I know what to do with my inner critic. I don't know what to do with the threat of like being bold and courageous in a leadership setting. So I think that giving up of self, where we give up that voice and that perspective that frankly the world needs. I know a lot of people want to talk about like what do organizations need? That's great. I think in the micro, organizations need leaders to like use their voice. Like there is only one of them in the world, right? There's only one of me, there's only one of you. The organizations need our voices. Honestly, I think the world, like for us in our coaching practice, it's really more about like this work changes the world. Like organizations being more healthy are great, but that's sort of the short game that the world needs my full voice. The world needs your full voice. And I think that inner critic and that protection kind of like makes me give up self, makes you give up self in a way that's really detrimental to the world.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. And I hope that message hits home because you guys are listening and you know you're here. You're only listening because you have a story and you keep listening to someone thinking you're waiting for that moment to be like, well, if he could talk, I can talk. Right? And so do that, like be empowered today. What is something about hustle culture that needs to be challenged?
Gosh, where do I start? I'm always care like I think everything has a shadow side. Like everything has a light side and a shadow side. So I always like I can be cynical, so I don't want to be cynical, but I think hustle culture is so hard because it's built to avoid self-awareness, right? Like it is cultivated to keep me from thinking about my contribution. One of the first question a coach ever asked me, I called on the phone and I said, I just got out of this meeting and these people I'm trying to lead are the worst. Like I was literally venting. And my coach said, what part do you play in this situation? And my initial response was like, well, shut up. I just told you, like, I just told you how bad these people are. I didn't do anything. And that's just not true. Like I play a part in every situation I'm in. And hustle culture it just removes the ability for me to look at my own contribution and my own part that I play, positive and negative, right? Like I think missing that positive and negative is equally dangerous. And it just it just invites me, hustle culture just invites me to go, 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 and never stop to like think of like how I'm showing up in those spaces. Does that make sense?
It does, and I very much agree with this, and I also think hustle culture is usually benefiting someone else more than yourself, and someone's willing for you to pay a price for them to benefit and grow. I see it a lot. Like, I started network marketing 10 years ago, I think, and that's all about the hustle culture, obviously, because the more work I do, of course everybody benefits, but there was never just like a slow down and figure stuff out. It's, treading water. You're just treading water out there, like, I don't even know what's going on anymore.
You know what I, here's another thing I might say. I think a lot about measuring inputs versus measuring outputs. So like when I think about hustle culture, I'm only measuring like what are my results, and sort of neglecting like can I look back on that and say like I'm really happy with how I showed up? I mean, I actually think that I might be a failure, by like conventional metrics. And at the same time, I could also like look at my inputs. Did I give 100%? Was I authentic? And I think I can still be fine, even if conventional metrics look like a failure. So I don't think hustle culture allows for the input versus output conversation real well.
No, I very much agree with you. And I think one of the greatest questions I ask myself for that alignment is like, if everything I'm doing right now, if no one listened to another episode of my show, and this is part of like, am I aligned on this is what God is calling me to do? If no one listened to another episode, would I continue to put the show out? And I'm like, yeah, because there's going to be one person to find that. So I think just being able to take everything away and to measure that, to say, if people weren't giving me accolades, if, I didn't get the pats on the back, if people weren't like, oh my gosh, if I never heard another compliment, would I still continue to show up? And absolutely. I think that matters with what you're doing too, to just kind of stay grounded in your alignment, like we talked about in the beginning, to just really true to who you are. And how your impact is affecting other people. We are coming up on our time, so I'm going to ask, I have two more questions. This one is for the audience. Right now, what is the one shift that the person listening can make to start leading and living differently today?
I've been really thinking about authenticity a lot. I think there's a myth that says authenticity in life and leadership is like, hey, here I am, take me as I am. I might like yell at you a lot, but that's just who I am. I actually don't love that. I think the shift I wonder about is authenticity more about alignment to my life and who and how I want to be in that life. And I think on some level that's freeing for me, right? Like does that mean, like I'm gonna have to make some shifts? Like if I lashed out at you, like, okay, that's not who I want to be. That might be who I am today, but I don't want to do that again, right? Like that's gonna make some work for me. But I think that like that's really been running through my head lately, like how empowering that is to say authenticity is probably less about like I am today who I'm gonna be forever, and authenticity is more about like aligning my life with who I'm choosing that I want to be and how that I want to be.
I very much agree with that. I love that. And just to add a little bit to that, I think like we're never going to be completely who we're called to be, right? So every day is a growth, and it's just every day choosing to be better than you were the day before. And I think if you do that in a way that you know who you want to be, you know what you want to represent, you know what your message is to the world, like how can I put that out today at my fullest capacity? I think that's super important. So my last question for you, Kurt, if you stripped away everything you do to look successful, would your life actually feel good to be living right now?
I must say yes. Honestly, that's been the work of the last 5 years of my life. So, like, I hate to be that guest who's like, yeah. And I think that's been so important to me, kind of coming out of a grind. Like there's a whole other part of my career before seminary that was kind of the grind, corporate grind. And I honestly, I mean, I think my measure for success in my life is, am I fully aligned with who I'm created to be and how I want to be? I actually don't know how successful I would look on the outside, if I'm honest. But I think I can say yes, I feel good about that today.
That's fabulous. And I feel like that's going to be that statement right there. Just the fact that you have the confidence in that would secure the people listening in this audience to know, like, is Kurt the person I need to be following right now? And I think it captures, like, the essence of your entire message, which is you want people to use their voice and to show up completely as themselves. You're empowering, and that's the core of your message. So this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. Not just that you talk about leadership, it's that you're willing to tell the truth about it. You aren't selling the performance. You're not like fake it till you make it. You are calling people back to the core of who they are, back to alignment, back to honesty, back to a way of living and leading that is sustainable. And in the toxic hustle coach culture, which I love you guys, but some of y'all, okay, that's super rare. And I think everything that you're doing is incredibly needed. And I think that's what makes you special. To everyone listening, you don't have to keep performing your life. God didn't create you to carry everything while losing yourself in the process. You're allowed to live fully and to lead honestly and to build something that doesn't cost you your peace, okay? So please just be aware. Be grounded. Be willing to look in the mirror and remember that your mess is your message. Even the burnout, even the disconnection we talked about, even the moments you felt like, you're just getting by, because that is where your truth is going to come from. And if you've been feeling that pull to use your voice, to share what you've learned, to actually say something that matters, you don't have to wait until it's perfect. Okay. I do have a support group for you guys. It's totally free. I spill all the tea. I don't gatekeep. But if you want a podcast, that's where you start. Real, you stay consistent and you build something meaningful without overthinking it. So if it's been on your heart, please come and join me. Kurt, before we close out of here, tell us where people could find you, how to connect with your coaching, all of the things.
Yep. So our website is brimstonecoachinggroup.com with a B, Brimstone Coaching Group. Yeah, there's all sorts of like ways to connect with us. We do free inquiry calls with anybody that's curious what we might be like as coaches. They can find those links there. We also have a book out. It's right there. That's maybe the like least intrusive way to get to know us and get to know how and why we do what we do. And all of those links are on our website as well.
Perfect. You guys, if this episode spoke to you, please make sure you like the episode, but share it with someone who needs it, because there may be someone that you know that we don't know that needs to hear Kurt's message, that needs to get resource, that needs his book. And it's kind of selfish if you don't help us kind of do our job. So maybe you're not ready to use your voice, then help my friend Kurt steward his. Okay. So share the episode. Please leave a review. Stars are cute, but like if you actually type in the comments, it helps more people see the show. Okay. You guys, if you're ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. And Kurt, thank you so much for being willing to sit in it today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great.
Absolutely.